Germany says the issue of reparation is closed. That's after Poland demanded more than $1 trillion for Nazi crimes during World War II. But why is Warsaw making this move now? Is politics involved? This is Inside Story. Hello, welcome to the programme. I am Hashim Ahalbarra. Poland says it will demand $1.3 trillion from Germany for crimes committed during the Second World War. The figure follows the release of a report on the cost of the Nazi occupations of Poland from 1939 to 1945. Poland's right-wing government says the country has not been fully compensated, but Germany insists compensation was paid in the years that followed the war and the matter is now closed. We have a lot to discuss with our guests shortly. First, this report from Dominic Hain in Berlin.
When German forces attacked Poland in 1939, Adolf Hitler said he was righting historic wrongs done to his country. The war he started would leave the continent in ruins and kill tens of millions of people. Few suffered more than the Poles. One in six of them died under German occupation. Nearly two-thirds of their industry was destroyed. More than three-quarters of their infrastructure was ruined. Now, the modern Polish state believes the modern German state should pay.
1.3 trillion euros is a very serious sum, but considering payment of this kind of compensation is spread over decades, it's a sum the German economy can perfectly overcome without being crushed. The compensation paid to France for the First World War damages stopped only 10 years ago, so this sum is quite realistic.
But not to modern German eyes. Successive governments have said a deal in 1953 between the communist governments in Warsaw and Berlin waived Poland's claim for compensation. The present Polish government says its predecessor was forced by the Soviets to make the offer, and so it should not count. In one sense, Germany has already lost much. Around a quarter of its territory was annexed by the USSR and Poland after the war. Millions of people who had lived there were evicted. And accepting the loss of this territory was key to bringing about German reunification after the Cold War.
There are some who say the current Polish government may be using the reparations argument to make political capital at home.
Something like 83% of their supporters want this to happen. Elections are coming up next year. And having run out of other issues and definitely wanting to distract from inflation, fuel shortages and other problems that Poland is facing.
In recent times, democratic Germany has tried hard to right the wrongs done by Nazi Germany, building monuments to the many millions who were murdered, and expressing determination never to repeat the sins of the past, but also arguing that the time for compensating the countries that were invaded and occupied is over. Dominic Kane, Al Jazeera, Berlin.
Let's bring in our guests in Warsaw, Michael Racon, an anchor at the Polish TV news channels TVP Info and TVP World. In Berlin, Ulrich Bruckner, professor of political science at Stanford University. And in London, Maximilian Haas, fellow at the Foreign Policy Research Institute. Welcome to the programme. Michael, is this a genuine attempt by the Polish government to seek justice, or is it just a politically motivated push by the Law and Justice Party?
Well, you have to be aware that in Poland, the memories of the Second World War are so embedded into our common understanding of reality that we are right now that actually it's very hard to find a single family in Poland that haven't been directly touched by the horrors and the tragedy of the Second World War. Almost 40 million people right now have had their grandparents fighting the Second World War, or actually most of all being a victims of the Second World War in some way. Actually, it's very hard to find a family that had no financial losses, that didn't lose its, homes, their locations, the people were murdered. This is a thing that is so embedded into our common understanding of the history and everyday life that this is general public expectation for years, mm-hmm. that those atrocities are going to be faced, named, and in a way compensated.
Ulrich, but then when in Germany, the general sentiment among the people and the establishment is that this is a right-wing government which is weaponizing legacy of the past to try to put more pressure on the German government. How do you see the German government moving forward?
Well, the German government has immediately responded, and it was very calm and straightforward, referring to the legal side of the story, which is that everything is settled, and this is not something that is even legally put on the international agenda. No one has any doubts about the German responsibility and the guilt and the tragedy that Germans caused in Poland, but the general sentiment in Germany is also among the other members of the European Union that we don't do politics with history.
Maximilian, the timing of the reparation issue is pushing many to think that the Law and Justice Party is tapping into that particular anti-German sentiment to advance its own political agenda, knowing that there's absolutely no way they can get any concessions from the Germans.
Well, yes, the government has to tie EU budgetary funds closer to rule of law decisions within the European Union. This has, of course, been a particular bone of contention between Germany and Poland for the last 6 years, with Germany, alongside most of the institutions in Brussels, finding that the ruling government in Poland, the Law and Justice Party's reform of the legal system, the judicial system, and in particular the Supreme Court, has violated those European standards. We've similarly seen these kind of disputes over German reparations come at other times of such tensions, including in 2017, which was originally the genesis of this report here now, as well as in German-Greek relations at points where Germany and Athens have disagreed over European policy. So there certainly is background in more recent history, which has caused some of that poor faith about these claims within Germany and amongst critics of the Polish government.
Michael, as you've heard, the Germans are adamant. This is a closed matter. They have paid compensation right after the war. Not only that, they're saying that the Polish have themselves taken some of the territory from Germany right after the war. So this is already settled.
No, that's obviously not true, but the main important, the most important issue here is the matter of the legal framework, which is open for discussion. And actually, you cannot state that Poland as a country, as a sovereign state, existed in 1953. It was not a sovereign state, and the reason for which Poland was not a sovereign state in 1953 was German and Russian common aggression against Poland, the Second World War. You have to remember that for the first 2 years, Poland was actually occupied by two countries, by Soviet Union and the Third Reich, and the reason for which Poland, actually the state of Poland that was under Russian control, made the claim in 1953 that the German government is talking about constantly for those years was made actually by the Soviet Union. And the fact is, I actually oppose the claiming that this is doing a politics with a history. This is not true. The fact is that those moral responsibility which my partners here are claiming is obvious, and I agree it's obvious, wasn't followed by the compensation of the loss of millions of lives here. I got a report here, actually one of those three books. This is a report that was produced by a group of scientists, people who weren't affiliated into any political party, that were working for years to assess the level of compensation required. You have to be aware that nowadays, in the German banks, there are accounts that were found by the scholars who arranged this and worked on this issue that were collected from Poland. To make this thing even more complicated or simpler in a way, is that also the German scholars are claiming that this is not a claim from Poland, but this is a debt that should be paid by the Germans. If you listen to professors that wrote books on the issues of the reparations for Greece and for Poland, it is stated quite obviously. So this case is not closed.
Okay.
And Poland was not a sovereign country when it claimed that it is waiving its claims in 1953.
Ulrich, why is it difficult for both nations to move forward, turn the chapter of a long history of animosity, talking about the defeat of the Teutonic Order, the Prussia's role in the splitting of the Lithuanian-Polish Commonwealth, and do exactly what the Germans and the French managed to do, which is basically turning a chapter and starting a new one?
I think the main difference between the successful reconciliation between Germany and France and the not-so-successful reconciliation between Poland and Germany, yesterday we heard that there is no such thing like reconciliation until Germany pays a gigantic amount of money. That was the statement of the leader of the PiS. The main difference is that we have different starting conditions. Poland tells its story as a story of being a victim between Russia and Prussia, Nazi Germany, or Germany in the European Union. This is an essential narrative that helps especially conservative governments.
Professor, those are obvious facts. Poland was attacked on the 1st of September 1939 yes. by Germany. It wasn't a provoked attack. It was an atrocity. And 6 million lives were lost.
There is a shared history with France. And in the case of France, we decided that we should close the chapter and start a new European order based on the mutual interest in we should have a common future.
Dear Professor, while this discussion was among France and Germany, Poland was imprisoned in the Russian Soviet prison. We were victims of this war, and we were for 50 years under the communism regime. And the reason for which that happened was common attack on Poland by Russia and Germany.
Okay.
And no one ever compensated this to the Polish people, to my family, to brother of my late grandfather, to the people who were in the concentration camps. They were never compensated for this.
I don't think that there is anybody who denies that responsibility. I say both as somebody of German descent who also had families who died in the Polish concentration camps. It is clear that Germany has
Polish
a moral guilt.
Come on,
I think
excuse me, Polish concentration camps? The phrase Polish
concentration camps that were located on Polish territory.
No, concentration camps, German concentration camps on the territory occupied by Germany.
If you don't mind.
It is one of the most important and fundamental things.
There were German concentration camps
because Poland did not exist because it was occupied by Germany and by Russia.
Is an indication of the very complex nature of this. I'll give you a chance to finish what you've been saying, Maximilian, if you don't mind, before we moving forward to another angle of the story.
Yes, I agree there is a very complex history, and I certainly don't deny both the German and the Nazi guilt for crimes that they carried out on Polish occupied territory. That being said, I think part of the problem with the issue today is that how complex these are these claims are and the issues of how the best way to solve them is and to move forward in a European project. The fundamental underlying issue relates to state claims against one another. The original claim in 1953 was, yes, between a communist government controlled by Moscow in Poland and a communist government in Eastern Germany, also heavily influenced by Moscow. But there were certainly crimes that continued in that era as well. There was the forced movement of Germans out of cities in the territory that is now Poland. I don't think demanding reparations at times of other European tensions, when very recent war going on being waged by Russia in Ukraine, is helpful for ensuring the common European defense going forward. And because these legal issues are so complex, it's simply impossible to deal with.
Michael, just for our international audience, Maximilian was talking about the 6 million Poles who were killed, including 3 million Polish Jews. And
who are citizens of Republic of Poland, and Poland does not differ its citizens by their origin or by their ethnic background.
And this brings me
citizens of Republic of Poland killed by the German occupying forces. But I want to address one more point
briefly, which is, if you don't mind. Yes,
briefly, of course, which is also a very important thing, and it's also an indication of the level of complication of those issues. The fact that the certain number of German citizens had to move from the territories that were granted to Poland after the Second World War was a decision of the Allies during the conference in Tehran and in Potsdam. Those were the decisions of the Allies after the Second World War, and they made another decision during those conferences that Poland is going to get reparations from Germany, and it did not receive it until today. This is a moral issue.
Okay.
This is an issue of responsibility and of compensation to the victims or the families.
Ulrich, I would like to ask you this. Are we talking here about a dispute which is going to fade away one day, or are we talking about something that has the potential to undermine the 1991 treaty between Poland and Germany, the Treaty of Good Neighborship?
Well, as we have already distinguished, there is a moral dimension, there is a historical dimension about the facts that are not sufficiently known in Germany. Therefore, I warmly welcome the fact that these three volumes that we have been seeing before are stimulating the discussion and the historical learning in Germany. This is warmly welcome. But there's also a political instrumentalization of this that is part of the election campaign of the Peace Party that will
comes to Germany. But what are the basis on which you are claiming and you are putting the thing of those...
I appreciate, Mike, if you just give him a chance to finish, and then I can come back to you, if you don't mind. Go ahead, Ulrich.
Okay, sure.
In our conversation, this is a very heated and emotional discussion that will always pop up whenever a populist tries to instrumentalize this. So this will never go away, because this is a choker that you can always play when you have a situation like you isolate yourself in the European family of nation states with your radical position in your interpretation of what the rule of law and democracy
is. You are talking about the interpretation of the fact, and you're talking about the populace while you are talking about the victims of the war that was waged and which was provoked by the German nation and was never paid for, those victims of those crimes. And I'm a grandson of a man who was one of those victims. The grandmother of my wife was in a concentration camp for 2 years, forced to check if the weapons, if the bullets for the German weapons are properly prepared. Those people were never compensated for the crimes. And you are talking about the election process. You are claiming that those are the populist claims, which is basically, you shouldn't do it. You should take a look at the moral
Michael.
And financial responsibility related to this moral responsibility.
Maximilian, I have a question to ask you, if you don't mind. Do you think this similar discontent took a different direction, particularly with Russia's invasion of Ukraine. If you remember back then, the first response from Poland was basically very dismissive and critical of Germany, saying that their rule has been too late, too slow when it comes to helping the Ukrainians.
There has been a lot of criticism from Poland and many other corners on the German government's response, and I share a lot of that criticism, and I think it's time for Berlin to show some leadership on that side. But this issue, I don't think, is ultimately connected to the issue in Ukraine, which, of course, also after the war changed the borders in the east of Poland. I think it's really connected more likely to these internal European disputes we've been talking about. As to the point of whether it's being politicized, I would just point to the fact that it tends to come up during times of tension between the PIS, the Law and Justice government in Poland, and Brussels and EU, whether that was in 2016, 2017, or back in 2004, when Lech Kaczynski, the leader of the party, first brought up a similar commission. So I do think it's that there. And, you know, that being said, on the historical and the moral points, it is incredibly complicated, and there is undoubtedly a German guilt. There have also been issues with Jewish people receiving compensation from the Polish government over the territory that they lost at the end of the World War.
Excuse me, sir. But let me put one thing, because you might not be familiar with that. It was announced yesterday that Poland actually welcomed the citizens of Israel and the state of Israel to join this claim because of the claims that should be addressed to the perpetrators of the Second World War, to Germany, basically. So Germany is the perpetrator and should be the address that all the claims from former citizens of Republic of Poland should be sent to him. It was actually said yesterday. One more final thing. In 2004, all Polish political parties, in Poland voted for a bill. And this bill stated clearly that Polish government should prepare this document, this kind of document, and address the issue with the relations straight to the German government. So it wasn't made by the PIS party, because PIS party wasn't the ruling party back in 2004.
Ulrich, now you have... this is an extraordinary moment for both Olaf Scholz and also for Mateusz Morawiecki of Poland. Do you think that ultimately they will have to move forward for them to be able to maintain what they have managed to achieve over the past two decades, particularly building strong economic and financial relations?
Well, I wish they find a common denominator to move on, although the different positions, not only on this case, but also in a number of others, make it relatively unlikely. And this is a pity, given the situation that there is war in Europe. And what matters the most at the moment is that the West stands united. And whether this is possible in a situation in which a single country plays a blame game like this at this very moment remains to be seen.
Maximilian, there is the legacy of the Second World War and the atrocities that were committed
for the Second
back
World War.
Then there is also what many people think is right-wing political parties in Europe weaponizing the anti-German sentiment to build some sort of an anti-German alliance within the EU. Do you see it that way?
I don't see it that way. You know, I do think that there is a politicization to the timing of this issue. But as we were saying, I very much welcome debate and discussion both within Germany and wider in Europe about the history of this time and showing the Nazi crimes that were committed both within Germany and in occupied Polish territory and further abroad. But on that sort of right-wing front, within Europe that we're seeing right now, we've actually seen a pretty big divide emerge between the Polish government and the far right-wing government of Viktor Orban in Hungary over his relatively accepting approach of Russia's crimes in Ukraine, and even going to Moscow today and buying more gas from Gazprom. So we've seen a real difference in between those two countries that I think is fundamentally undermine that alliance.
Gentlemen, unfortunately, we really have to leave it there because we're running out of time. In the meantime, Michael Rakon...
That Germany made financial deals with Russia, and the reason for which we see this clash in Europe between different political groups is the policy that people oppose in many countries. We do not agree in many countries to make Europe a federation.
Thank you, Michael.
To dismantle the sovereign states.
Thank you.
Lots of people do not agree
Thank
on
you.
This.
I promise you that we will revisit this topic in the near future here on Inside Story. I really appreciate your insight. Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you too for watching. You can see the program again anytime by visiting our website, aljazeera.com, for further discussion. Go to our Facebook page, that's facebook.com/AJInsideStory. You can also join the conversation on Twitter. Our handle is at AJInsideStory. From me, Hashim Ahbara, and the entire team here in Doha. Bye for now.